The Open Book on cliffcentral.com.
Yes, yes, it is the 21st of April 2016 today. It is also the 111th day of the year. Can you believe it? 111 days and I feel like I've hardly done anything. Remember those things that you had put down that you're going to do this year that you still haven't done? Well, we're already probably like a third into the year, but thank God that, you know, the same God that we serve is the God of yesterday, the God of today, and the God of tomorrow. So you definitely still have a chance to fulfill those things that you wanted to fulfill. So some of the things that happened on this day, 21st of April in history, Rome was founded. It wasn't built on that day, because we know that Rome took way more than one day to build. Such a stupid thing to say, but I'll say it anyway. But at least it was founded, you know, like they found the land and they made that mark that right here, we are going to build Rome. Well, on that note, a warm welcome to you all to The Open Book with myself, Lois Obala. I'm really excited about today's topic, just by the way, really, really excited, because it's been the topic that I've been wanting to tackle for a really, really, really long time. And it concerns the first children of the church. You know, like apparently these days you have the first lady who's the pastor's wife. Well, these ones, they are called the first children, the PKs as we know them. Otherwise, it translates to pastor's kids, or even more famous, the preacher's kid. I like the pastor. I like the pastor's kid. It just makes it sound so much nicer. Now, there are, of course, a lot of stereotypes about PKs that we hope to break today. And how we've done this is that we've actually brought some actual PKs into the studio. But it has to be said that some of these stereotypes may be true. We know that stereotypes are not always true, but they may be true. And why not? Because these people are just like us. But obviously, they are not all the same, in the same way that there's some stereotypes that they have about, and I'm going to be honest, because the Open Book, like about black people, and some stereotypes about white people. And the thing is, as soon as you find someone who fits that stereotype, you're like, you see, I told you. But the thing is, there are so many black people, there are so many white people, they are not all the same, that for your stereotypes, you'll find someone who's probably got that thing that you're talking about. But there are some similarities, though. There are some similarities, something that all these guys, all these PKs, these preachers' kids probably share. And that is the fact that, you know, being a PK sets you up for some expectations. And I hope that today we're going to actually speak about that. I mean, think about it. Every Sunday morning, you're like on a stage, and sometimes literally. But every Sunday morning and probably throughout the week, you're like on a stage with members of the congregation going through a mental checklist of how you do or you don't fit in within the preconceived notions of what the son or daughter of a preacher's man ought to be like. That's what it is. But then there's no blueprint of what a PK should be like or become, like I was saying earlier on. But some of them go on, yes, they'll go on to become pastors themselves, whilst others run from the ministry as fast and as far as possible. So today we probably have both these types here in studio. Sia, is Sia right there? Sia Sangweni. Oh, there he is. He's known as the president of the Cliff Central Youth League. He was crowned just the other day. He's also the personal assistant to Gareth and Rina, who are the co-founders of Cliff Central. And just the other day, actually a few months ago, I saw that he's also a reality TV star of the show Preacher's Kid. Sia, good to have you in studio with us in the Open Book today. can't hear Sia. He's like in the other room. Sia, are you there?
Now we're good?
Yeah. Now we're good.
Go.
Now we're good. You see, Sia's just finishing up some work before
we're
he comes to studio.
Yeah.
He's multitasking over there. Sia, so your name is Sia Sangweni Finn. Why the double barrel?
I'm not married, nor have I been divorced. It's just my grandparents actually never got married, so I'm a product of carrying both of those surnames. It's confusing as ever, I know.
Okay, so you took to take your grand, I mean, like, so it's your parents and then obviously your grand...
My dad's parents' surnames, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they were Finn?
Yeah, you know, it's confusing, ne?
Black people? Black people
no,
named
no,
Finn?
No. Father's father's Finn, so he was colored, and then father's mother was Sangweni.
Oh, that explains the...
What does that explain?
That explains the, the yellow bone in here. I know that our other guest doesn't like being called that. And she is Simpiwe Ngema.
Hello.
How about we just call you like caramel or fudge? Fudge looking. We're not going to call you
Yerobo. Okay, maybe caramel, because I love caramel.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Okay, cool. So Simpiwe Ngema, she's a television and stage actress who holds a diploma in journalism. I don't know how much she likes this, but she's also known for a former role on Mubango as Tuli. Yeah. Do people still refer that? Are they like, aren't you the girl who was on Mubango? And I mean, like, how does that make you feel?
No, they think I'm going to come back.
they think you're going to come back?
Yeah.
Well, it happens.
They always ask me that question, when are you coming back? And I'm like, I'm not.
And what do you say? But who knows? You know what I mean? Like, I've been seeing, like, with generations now, and people have been coming back, like, from the dead, bro. I mean, like, you know, when these guys were fighting with the producer says, I'm going to kill them and I'm going to have a funeral.
That's
on
life.
Screen
That's
so that they never
life.
Come back.
Drama. You got to add some drama. You know what I mean?
So who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see you back in there. But what are you busy with right now?
I'm currently shooting Isigo. It's a cultural show. We basically document all the cultures in South Africa, and I travel all around South Africa learning about their food, what they wear and their leadership, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, awesome stuff. And hopefully in the near future, we'll see you coming back to Mubango.
<Well. laughs>
And my last guest, my third guest on the show, he's a friend. He's kind of like become a friend of the Open Book because you've been here once.
Yeah.
That's why I call you that. So his name is David Mutenji, who's a youth and worship. He's a youth leader and also worship leader. At Rhema. He actually just got married to Gina to Gina McCauley about 5 months ago. They were here in studio with us. We're speaking about dating.
Yeah. That was fun.
Because you guys are probably dated longer than you have been married. So
yes,
I thought,
yeah.
Let's not speak about marriage. We'll get you back in like 10 years time.
Definitely.
Okay. And now today we're gonna speak about the preacher's kids. Okay. But well, I wanna play a song first and we'll come back to it. But David, I've gotta ask you this question.
Yes.
Both you and your wife, Gina, are in ministry.
Yes.
And truth be told, it's not like any of us are gonna become pastors. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But you guys are closer to it than before. So I wanna ask you this question. I mean, like, doesn't it freak you out that your kids are also going to be PKs as well?
A little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit. And I'll tell you why, because I was probably not the greatest PK kid. I'm slightly worried, but I'm also slightly excited because I'm gonna do things a little bit differently.
A little bit differently.
A little bit differently.
And that's probably what your father said.
Shots fired.
Anyway, we'll speak about that afterwards. But yeah, our topic today is being a preacher's kid. And we've got them in studio. So we'll be chatting to them about it right after this.
The Open Book on CliffCentral.com.
Today we're talking, our subject is the preacher's kid. Something that's a bit of a phenomenon to those of us who didn't grow up, you know, like with families where, I mean, like, it's one thing to grow up in a Christian family, but it's another thing when your dad is a pastor, or your mom is a pastor, because that also happens, you know, these days. Or a preacher. In that sense, is that kind of like the same thing, a preacher and a pastor? Because
yeah,
it is.
I think so.
See, I kind of thinks differently.
See, no, I'm just the one. My father likes to specify that he's a reverend. You know, when you go and you study theology, that ain't nothing small. So he's a reverend.
Oh, that's so he's a reverend.
Yes,
but I know of people. But I know of people though who've been ordained to be pastors, and they've also got the reverend name to it. But I know the reverend just makes it sound more like I'm going to wear my collar. You know what I mean? And it's written Rev.
Yeah.
So guys, so tell us about, let me start with the lady, with Simpiwe. What denomination do you, were your parents pastors of? Was it both your parents or was it just the one?
It's both my parents. We come from a church called Christ is Lord Christian Fellowship. And it started in 2001, I think, yeah.
Okay.
Around that time, yeah.
So that's when you started experiencing being a pastor's
way before that, actually, because my dad was a preacher, but not a specific pastor of a church.
Yeah.
You know, and when the church started, then obviously things took a turn, but we've always been judged because you are a preacher's kid.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter that your dad is just a preacher, but mm-hmm. does not come from a certain church. Like, he's not the main pastor of a certain church. When your dad is a preacher, your mom is a preacher, there's always going to be judgment.
And it should probably kind of be the same, you know, like with worship leaders, because those guys are kind of, you know, they're quite big in the church now as well, or anybody else that people see like on the platform, as they call it.
Yeah, David? Definitely. Yeah. I think, on my side, both my parents are also pastors. I know.
Yep.
And my mom got recently ordained, but when I was growing up, my dad was a preacher, a pastor. And so, we come from a very charismatic church.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, praise and worship, no one's sitting down, everyone's hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, look, it's different growing up as a pastor's kid or in any ministry where you're seen, where your parents are seen, because automatically an expectation is placed on you and a lot of choices are made for you. And you kind of grow up thinking, I never made this decision. But you soon realize that your parents made the decision for you, and then you just kind of have to just kind of go with it.
Yeah.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because with my father, when he did become a preacher, he said to us, he set us down and said, listen, this is my calling.
Yeah.
It's not yours.
And it's important.
It's important. Yeah. It's my calling. I'm choosing to be a pastor. I'm not saying that you should also follow my path, because it's my path.
Amen.
And you have to make a choice. If you don't want to come to church, then don't. But you have to have a relationship.
Oh, my parents.
Oh, wow.
Oh, hold on.
Oh, wow.
My parents were not even pastors, but we had to go to church. I mean,
like,
that is like...
But, you know, that's how we were raised with
it's
my
like,
sisters.
Yeah, listen,
that's how we were raised.
My path is to take you to school. If you don't choose not to go to school, up until you're 18.
And that's exactly what my dad said. And we were young. He was like, if you want to go to school, go. If you don't want to, don't. Because at the end of the day, it's your life. And you grow up with that thing of responsibility and knowing that, look, I have a choice. And I always have to choose what is right for me.
But I guess also, you know, like when you get the choice, somehow then you start doing the right choice.
Yeah,
you know, it's like when you give someone grace, it's like you have a problem. You can either give
psychology.
The law or you can, you know, be graceful about it. And somehow people always choose the right thing if they see that you're
exactly.
acting out of love.
Yeah.
So yeah, for you over there, what church?
Oh yeah, so I totally relate to a lot of Simpiwe's story as well, actually. Well, I've grown up just in the church forever and ever, amen. The Methodist church, my father's always been a reverend. I think this year he's actually celebrating 32 years as a reverend, if I'm not mistaken. But once again, you know, given that I'm the youngest as well, I have three older sisters, and we've always had that understanding within our family of this is your own individual journey, and so whatever you feel and whatever you believe is exactly that. But with that said, it is my parents' household, and they are Christians and believers, and so there is that element of respect. So for example, I'm not about to now, if I was a devil worshipper, have a little exorcism in the house, because it ain't my house, you know. I respect that. But I love that we have that sense of respect between my parents and I.
Guys, did you ever feel like, I mean, like growing up, did you ever feel like you live in a glass house? Like everybody, like everyone is literally looking at you. And how did that impact you as kids?
Yes, definitely. You feel like you're living under a microscope, because you can't be like other kids. You can't be as naughty as other kids. You can't be a teenager, like a normal teenager, because everyone is watching your every move, and it's
but
very
were they
difficult.
Really, or were you feeling like they were?
No,
I
they
think
were.
That's also the question.
Literally, they were. If somebody saw me walking with a boy and I was 13, I would hear from it. Like I would hear about it from my mom, and I'm like, when did that person even get the time to go to my mom?
Wow.
And that's my cousin.
You know what I mean?
From Cape Town.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you literally feel like you're living under a microscope because you can't do anything without anybody saying something about it.
Yeah, and that must be tough, eh?
It is.
And for you, and for you, David?
Yeah, I think I agree because also your parents also now let you know that, hey, look, people are looking to me as the example, and you're my child, and so if people are gonna look at you, they're kind of gonna see me as well, and so if there's a high responsibility on me, then sorry, but there's gonna be a high responsibility on you, and so I totally agree. Like it's almost like you always have to think beyond yourself. Exactly. As a preacher's kid, you're almost like you're sitting there and you, let's say you're just at a party and there's like just glasses of alcohol flowing and you're kind of looking, and at the same time you're looking at the glasses but you're also kind of scouting the room like, okay, now does that person come to my dad's church, does that person come to my dad's church?
But isn't that just the funniest thing though? I mean, like, and I'm talking to people out there like myself who are not preacher's kids, isn't that funny that you'd be sitting in the room drinking with somebody else, and it, you'd be the one who'd actually judge the other person as if, you know, their moral ground needs to be higher than yours. I mean, like, isn't that just, I mean, like, that's quite amazing. The fact that, I mean, you have to scout a room. Oh, so you do drink, David.
You know what?
Oh, so just an example.
God turned water into wine.
Oh, really?
So, hey, but Jesus, right? No, I'm joking. I totally agree with what you're saying. Yeah. Is that you almost have to, like, now think bigger. And so now you're judging other people for judging you, and you trying not to judge. And so it's like this whole massive cycle, especially when you're younger, is that you're so unsure of, like, what you are allowed to do and how far to push the boundaries. Mm. And so as a preacher's kid, you're kind of sitting there and you're going, oh my word, will my parents find out? That's the worst thing, I think. I don't know about you.
You're always representing your parents, unfortunately. Wherever you go, whether it's at school or at home, it's almost as though you are just a pastor yourself. Because everything you do, everything, no matter how small it is, like, for example, with my sister, she was a teen mom, you know, and there are a lot of kids before her that were teenage moms, but the way she was judged was different, you know. Parents from church would be like, we don't want our kids hanging around her, like it's contagious.
And then
something.
it's like, why don't you know?
And you are looking at this woman and you're like, but your child has three kids already.
Yeah.
Out of wedlock.
Yeah.
You know, and my sister only has one child, and you're still judging as though, I don't know, she needs to be crucified for it or something because she's a pastor's kid. So it is very difficult. It's hard. Yeah.
And do you know how I guess you guys would just know those people? Those are those ones, like, every time they see you, they're always smiling. Yeah. They always give you that fake smile. Yeah. And you just know it's like, no, man. You know? Yeah. And I mean, like, what you're saying right now, that's crazy because, and then they'll be like, yeah, why don't you kick them out of the church? You know what I mean? Which means that actually, you know, the Bible says that the Bible teaches that you know, when God says that the battle is not yours, but that the battle is the Lord's. Mm. Because at the end of the day, right, when the devil attacks you, it's not you who's trying to attack.
Exactly.
It's God that is trying to attack. You know what I mean? So I think also, you know, as a preacher's kid, you need to know that a lot of the times when these attacks come upon you, it's not so much to you, but it's because of a vendetta that someone has with your family. Yeah. And no matter how good you would be, no matter how good your family would be to them, they would, you know, they would still try and find ways, because to them it's like, I'm going to spend my life trying to bring these people down. And usually the closest people are usually those type of guys. Mm. You know, I don't know, I've never been a preacher's kid, but you know, but I can see of it, you know, my heavenly father being the ruler of the universe.
That's good, bro. So good.
And now the text sort of coming to me now. I mean, I think Sia wants to say something.
I don't know. For me, my dose of unconvention is the fact that my parents literally put the fear of God in me. So it's not the fact that like, oh no, we'll see you and we'll judge you and you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that. It's literally, ultimately, what does your creator, what does your believer think about what you're going to do?
That's awesome.
So that, I think, is true. That is, you know, the foundations of a true connection, ultimately, with whatever you believe in at the end of the day. When it's not about whether you care about what Auntie's khwere khwere with the big head who will be coming in on Sunday things, but it's rather ultimately what feels good for your soul.
Also, I mean, like listening to you guys, I'm reminded of the story of, or at least what he said, you know, like of like Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5. And growing up, because that's what happens, you know, you sort of like teen stars without even being on TV, you know what I mean? Because you're so big within your community. And how did that, I mean, how did that affect your, how did that affect you guys, you know, you as to just be regular kids?
For me, I think it was, God wanted it to be that way.
Okay.
In my life, because I felt, I feel like he was preparing me for the industry that I'm in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Which is obviously the entertainment industry.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when people would say things about me on Twitter and Instagram, and it would be like, how about you hit harder? Because I've heard worse as a preacher's kid. You know what I mean? So I definitely have a thick skin, and I'm used to being judged. So it's nothing new. So for me, it helped me in that sense, that it kind of prepared me for the industry that I'm in.
Yeah. And you, David, do you feel like it robbed you of your childhood?
I don't know. Hey, for me, I think we need to realize that as hard as it is, there's also a lot of benefits to being a preacher's kid. I think, especially when it comes to like the whole, you know, how you view God, and you get a firsthand experience of it, you know. And so, and for I think my relationship and my foundations in God grew so much because I was exposed to it my whole life from a young age, you know. And so that's definitely a positive, is that my relationship with God is, you know, has been so strong because of the fact that I could see the evidence in my parents' life, you know. And I think that's definitely like a massive positive about being and growing up in a church, you know, with parents who are preachers and stuff like that. And I think in terms of like robbing of your childhood, I don't necessarily look at it that way. I think it gives you a greater sense of responsibility.
Yeah.
And so you learn very fast that, you know what, I'm in control of my actions, and as much as I want to kind of deflect and go, well, I want to be young and I want to do this, it makes you think, why am I actually doing the things I'm doing? Is it because is it because I don't want my parents to find out, or is it because I understand that, you know, maybe this isn't really for me? Or, and so you become very introspective, and you build your own foundations, and you build your own character. And so it's like a lot of touch and go, and you learn these things as you're going along. And so at the beginning, it feels like, man, why don't you want to let me live? And I'm not my father. You can't see me when you see me. But then eventually you learn like, hey, maybe that's not such a bad thing, because it's almost like you've got that responsibility. And so
I guess in a way, like, you know, it forces you to limit the things that you do. You know? Yeah.
You know, and at the same time, it also makes you want to do things that, because you're like, I also want to try it. And then, you know, like, and so it's that whole balance, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it's really just about having that proper relationship with your parents, to be open and honest with them. And you know, I've been hearing, you know, Simpio and Sia, and they've been saying, you know, their parents have always been, you know, very open and open-minded, and hey, let's talk about things. And I think if you're a preacher's kid and that's what you have with your parents, it really allows you to just kind of go and be like, Mom, I want to try drinking, and then you can sort that out there, rather than like trying to, because when I was growing up, what I tried to do was to give my parents a visual of what they wanted in front of them.
Yeah.
And then behind them, try and be what I think I wanted to be. You know what I mean?
And you know what? And that's why, I mean, what Sia said earlier on, for the fact that the parents instilled the fear of God in him, is probably the best thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Because then all of a sudden, it won't be just about your parents.
Yeah.
But it'll actually be about your heavenly father, who sees it, you know, who sees it all.
Yeah.
And I guess also in that way, that kind of teaches you that you there's not your father and then there's God, and because God doesn't have any grandchildren, but that the same person that your parents are accountable to is the very same person that you are accountable to.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think that just, you know, like there's just more freedom in that. So I mean, like for you, Sierra, right, knowing that the congregation looks at you differently because you weren't as mature back then as you are now, did that affect your the way that you grew up and the things that you thought about back then?
I think a blessing in disguise was having my older siblings, because even though I was not seeing things the way they did, but they were offering that sort of advice. And so that I was able to gain insight. And I really can't say that I was ever affected by feeling the pressures or trying to be X, Y, and Z and not A, B, C. So for me, I was just living my life. If I felt like going to church because there was nice biscuits after the service, I would.
Yeah.
The Spirit was calling me to go to church, I would. But if I didn't, I didn't. And I literally lived just my life the way I did.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, like, there's no perfect balance to this.
Yeah.
Look,
you know, because every child is just born different.
Exactly, you know, and I was going to say that. It's almost like, you know, a lot of people think that all these pressures are only always on preachers' kids. But, for example, let's take Kanye West and Kim Kardashian's kid. We all have expectations. Yeah. Like, we expect them to be swagged out from the moment they step out of their house. We expect them to you know, to be a music producer or they're... It has to be good looking or be in fashion. And so, you know, and like, and a lot of people go like, well, that's different. No, because for preacher's kid, it's kind of the same thing. Your dad is, you know, a pastor. People expect you to dress a certain way. Like, no, your pants can't be hanging so low. Or they expect you to look a certain way. And so it's all about identifying who you are amidst all of those responsibilities and pressures. Just like how Kimye's kid is going to have to figure out who she is, you know, amidst all of those things. And so growing up, you're going to make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. Any teenager makes mistakes. And I think where preacher's kids kind of fall a little bit is that they think that their mistakes are bigger than everyone else's mistakes because everyone else is looking at their mistakes, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Kind of like when Justin Bieber crashed his car. Everyone was like, oh, he crashed his car. A lot of people have crashed their cars, so it's not, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
But the worst thing would be for him, if it was not his fault, but like would be for him to really feel bad about it and all the time. But I mean, also, you know what, guys? I think like a lot of times you think that people care, but actually people don't really care. They've got their own things to care about. So I think it's also important that like as a preacher's kid that you don't exert this pressure on you for no reason. It wasn't your fault or like it's just the way it is, you know, and you just get over it. If you've done something wrong, you know, seek forgiveness and believe that you've been forgiven and then just sort of move on. Mm. Yeah.
And you know, what my father always says is that the people that you help most of the times are the people that will stab you in the back. And we.
What did that teach you?
Yo,
from there.
Yo, it just taught me to be like God. You know, just help a person because you want to help them, not because you're expecting something.
Phew, thank God, I'm so glad a sermon came out of that.
Hey. Not because you expect something in return. You know what I mean? Just give because you want to give.
Yeah,
and that's it. And he always says that there are no perfect people.
Yes.
We go to church because we are not perfect. If you're perfect, then you're ready to die and go to heaven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Pastor Reuli says that, like he says, there's no perfect people in this church.
allowed,
you know? Yeah. If you find a perfect church and you join it, it's already not perfect.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Because we ourselves are not perfect. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's an understanding that everybody should have.
Yeah.
How did this affect your dating? I mean, like your dating life?
It was difficult. I mean, at the age of 13, you're already like noticing that, okay, that boy is cute.
Well, you're liking.
And
big ones.
But it was hard because now you can't be a normal teenager and just walk on the streets with a guy holding hands and whatever, because everybody's going to be like, yeah, that's Simpiwe and she's a preacher's kid and blah, blah, blah. And like I said,
Mfundis.
Exactly. And like I said, my mom would find out about it and she'd have to sit me down and say, listen, you are representing us and the family. And
yeah.
And you're like, can't I be like a normal teenager and have a crush on a guy and just date without being judged for it?
Mm-hmm.
But it was difficult. And I mean, I'm glad that my parents gave us that choice to say, look, you can date. Mm-hmm. These are the rules. You know what the Bible says. But at the end of the day, it's your life and it's your responsibility to make the right choices for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sia?
Well, my story just has a lot of twists and turns. And one of them being that my parents were always in ministries that were out of town. It just so happened in that way. So
you could, wow!
Exactly.
Lucky you.
It was just me.
At home.
Chilling with my sister.
At the mission. At the mission.
But the parents were there, so you could do whatever you wanted to do type of thing.
So it didn't affect you.
Yeah, so you know, but like when your parents are visiting for like 3 days, everything is setting out of their eyes.
Oh, wow. That's different.
It is very different.
And you, David?
No, I think for me, what my parents were really big on was like house rules.
Yeah.
And so they were like, look, you can't date until you're a certain age, if that makes sense. And so, I think certain things, my parents kind of set in place that was for our like house so like, let's say you're not allowed to date until you're 16, for example, let's say that, you know? And so they wouldn't go and tell the church that, you know, no one in this church is allowed to date until they're 16. And so, but in terms of like being in a relationship, it was just like, I think my parents gave me the choice as well to, you know, be in a relationship, but just make sure that you are making the right decision for you. And we've taught you everything that we can, but after that, it's really up to you to, you know, to make the right choice. And so, I think it's different, you know.
But wasn't it hard? I mean, like, look, and I think for all three of you, wasn't it hard to know whether someone truly is truly into you or just because of who you are? It sounds like I'm speaking to famous
trust
people.
Trust me, let me tell you, being a PK, for me, being a PK never had that thing, like, that advantage. I didn't feel like I have a certain advantage because I'm a PK and people are going to date me because I'm a PK and people are going to be interested and be like, okay, I want to date that girl.
You're going to have a whole beauty contest.
Because exactly. No, it was never like that.
Yeah.
And, mostly I felt like there were more disadvantages than advantages more than anything. Because our church is at a place where there are a lot of disadvantaged people, you know. I felt like it took away from us more than we gained, you know what I mean? Financially, and in any other way. That's why I say it was, I felt like there were more disadvantages than advantages, because now you have to share your shoes with that kid from next door because, you know, she comes from a poor family. But it has taught me a lot. I mean, I'm grateful for it.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for it. It has made me appreciate a lot of things.
Yeah.
More than anything. Yeah.
No, that's awesome. Sia, you want to say something?
I'd actually like to say it works in an inverse way for me personally. Mm. It's not like a big advantage. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Mm. But I've noticed even when I bring friends home, you know, we'd talk normally outside of the house, but they change their demeanor and they feel like they need to, you know, straighten up and set up
straight.
Exactly, when my parents are around. So I don't get that. So also the same situation with dates. Well, my goodness, you just want to be in ship-shop shape, you know, the best shape ever for the Holy One, which is your parents. Exactly. And I don't even feel that. So I find it weird when other people feel that when they come into our, you know, our home or our circle.
But then do you find that, I mean, like, do you find that you sometimes end up with other preachers' kids because it's people who are like in the same, I don't know, same industry? You know, that you end up marrying one.
I ended up marrying preacher's kid.
Why? I mean, like, was that one of the reasons? Was that one of the reasons why?
Not really, hey. I think, look, I think you're always gonna lean or tend to go towards someone who understands
yes,
you. Like
yes.
mm-hmm. you know, like Luis, or like for you, like you married someone who compliments you perfectly in what you do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, I wasn't walking around going, I'm gonna get married to a preacher's daughter, you know.
Mm.
But I think in the environment that I was in, you know, where I was working, where I was spending most of my time in, is where I found my wife. Like if you're gonna spend most of your time at strip clubs or at parties, or that's probably where you're gonna end up finding
your wife,
because that's all you're looking for. Because now you're setting this image in your mind of you constantly seeing girls do so, you know, so and do this and that and that, and so
yeah. And then you go to a normal club, you're like, wow, you're like, man, these girls are stuck up, man.
Exactly.
Let's go to a strip club.
Exactly. And so for me, you know, because I'm spending most of my time at church and in that environment, and that's environment that I want to be in, and that's an environment that complements my lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
then it so happened that Gina is also a preacher's kid. She could not have been, but I still probably, if she was still at church, I probably still would have, you know.
Okay.
So I think it just, sometimes it will end up like that, because the environments that you're in will always push you to meet that kind of person.
No, right. Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, like, that's why people always be like, out of everybody in the, you know, like in America, why is it that, you know, these celebrities marry other celebrities? That's because those are the people in their circle.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's the environment.
And, but then again, you know, like to you, and there's something totally like off subject, right? To you, those are like two celebrities, and you think that to them, like, you know, like things are normal. But to the other one is like, you know, like it's someone that they admire as much as you admire them. And because they're all in the same circles, they develop, like, obviously, like, you know, sort of like the same crushes.
Yeah.
So I guess environment is just very important.
Yeah.
And maybe a lot of times that pastors' kids go astray is because of the environments that they run to, you know, that makes them those people. But I really feel like, you know, it's really important, just the relationship between the pastor and the, you know, and the kid.
Yes.
And how was that? I mean, like, how has that affected your understanding of the gospel?
You always have to
let me start with Sia because it looks like
I really don't know. I don't know. You know, my parents did their fair share as Christian parents. So
yeah.
I was at Sunday school. I was, you know, reading from the Bible. I was in those Christmas plays every year, up until a point where I started making my own decisions. And so, yeah, I can't fault my parents on their parenting.
And what's your understanding now? Because I'll take that as, you know, this is where the road has
Well, I definitely believe in a creator. I pray all the time. I believe there is a God. But I'm more spiritual than religious. For me, I do not feel like not going to church is a bad thing. You know, I will go to church every now and then, but I don't define my spirituality by that, you know. Yes, your body is a temple, but I believe, you know, I have tattoos and I don't see anything wrong with that personally. So there are certain things from the Bible which I feel like, but when I promet you, maybe your perspective, not mine.
Is it?
So I take the gist of what the Bible says, not for word for word.
Okay. And you're also how old?
I'm 21.
He was 21 years old, so it's okay.
Oh, if you were
my kid and you were 12, run about now, I would take out that belt. But you're allowed, you know, like, you've been through the path, you've made your decisions,
yes.
And this is where you are. This is where you are right now.
It's very interesting when you look at the dynamics between my sisters. You know, there's one of my sisters who's absolutely, you know, Christian and religious and definitely devoted, goes to church every week. Another one of my sisters has been dating an Indian guy for like 6 years now, so she's on that Hindu path. Another one of my sisters is kind of like me. So it's this whole wide spectrum, really.
Yeah And those are the colors of the Sangweni Finn. That's where the problem started.
We're going to breed. Don't worry. We're going to infiltrate everywhere.
With the great-great-grandfather. But, you know, and the thing is, you know, we were saying earlier on that you shouldn't expect all the kids to be the same.
Mm.
Even between me and my other three siblings, because I've got a sister as well, totally different people.
Mm.
Follow. Mm. I mean, like, yeah, some of us kind of follow the same path, but we're different in other ways, you know?
Mm.
Which is... I mean, like, which is quite hectic. Okay, well, before I ask the next question, and you, Simpio, how has that affected your understanding of the gospel?
I had to make a choice.
Yeah.
And I had to decide that, do I want to have a relationship with God? When my father is at church and he's on stage, I had to understand that that's not daddy on stage right now. Awesome. That message is coming from God, not from daddy, because you know what? Daddy is daddy to me.
Yeah.
I see his mistakes at home. It's not like we sit around and he's always preaching to us. We see his mistakes and we see that he's human. But if I take those mistakes and take them to church with me and say, but daddy, you did this yesterday and now you're on stage and you're doing this and that and that and you're saying this, then I miss the message from God. Then I miss everything. You always have to tell yourself that you go to church for the message. Don't miss God because of the surroundings or of the person that is giving you the message. So for me, it was just having a relationship with God, a personal relationship with God, knowing God and knowing who He is in my life.
That is so awesome.
Yeah,
yeah, that is really, really so awesome, because I think some of the times we've heard some sort of a story about the pastor or the pastor's wife, and then when we go there,
exactly,
we're like, saying that?
Exactly.
You're saying that with me, like with what you did 2-3 years ago. I think that is so important, and that serves us.
Yes, and what
it may not serve the person saying it, but it serves it serves us.
And that's what people don't understand. That's why you find people, you'll have a fight, no mam fundis, and all of a sudden you're not coming to church anymore, and it's almost as though you were coming to church for her. You don't understand that, no, you're doing it for yourself, for your relationship with
God. And for
God.
Your worship.
She's human. She's going to make mistakes. She's going to get off the stage and do things right after that, you know. And you have to understand that I need to get the message.
Yeah.
Not look at the person that is giving me the message right now.
Yeah. And you, Pastor David?
you keep throwing that word out there. I think for me, I think they've hit the mark right there. I think it's what my parents really tried to instill in me is my own sense of relationship with God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that ultimately that's what it boils down to, is that how I kind of like to look at it is if you're in a family who's so music orientated, right? Let's say dad is a producer, mom is a singer, you know, they're always touring and they take kids along. It's almost like either one thing's going to happen. Either the kid's going to love it or the kid's going to almost be like, this is not really my vibe. Yeah. But it's really, at the end of the day, it's up to kid to decide, do I want to really follow this path or do I want to kind of go this way, you know. And I think when something is such an important lifestyle to a family, it definitely tends to, you know, lead the kid down one of those paths. And so for me, I was really thankful that the whole experience of being a pastor's kid brought me closer to God, and I made that choice and I made that decision to, do you know what, I want to live my life this way. And so I'm not going to blame my parents for my decision or blame my parents for not making that decision. I think eventually, you pastor's kid or not, you're going to get to a point in your life where you're going to make that decision and decide, am I going to do this? And wherever you end up, you know, God's not going to ask you, well, your parents told you, why didn't you do it?
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be between you and him. And so that's where I'm at.
Mm. Okay. I'm going to start with you, David, because we kind of touched on this in the beginning of our interview. And so when you have children, which is going to be soon, how differently are you going to raise your children to the way that you were raised up?
I think for me, what I really realized is I try to hide a lot of stuff from my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of how they were parenting, but because of how I thought they should have been parenting, if that makes sense. It's kind of like I always sat there going, well, you don't want to let me do this, so I'm going to do this behind your back. And so I think for me, what I'm really going to try and be different with my kids is to have that open that openness about everything, you know, because I realize that with my wife and her parents is that, you know, they're just open, you know. If they're going to have a fight, they're going to have a fight right there and then and you know, and they're going to talk about what they feel and how they feel. And with me, I think I always tended to feel like I couldn't really have that with my parents because I'm like, well, I know at the end of the day, you're just going to want me to be this preacher's kid, so I'm just going to tell you how I feel. But if you shout at me, then I'll close up. But I think for me, I'm really going to try and have that openness about, listen, let's discuss why you want to do what you want to do. And let's see where, let's actually have a one-on-one conversation rather than just going, this is how it is and that's final. I think for me, that was because of how I am. I like to understand things. And for my parents to just kind of go, this is it and that's final, always made me go, okay.
That's what the word says, Matthew chapter 5 verse.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that made me go, okay, if that's what you believe in, you don't want to listen to what I want to say, then sweet. So I think for me is I really want to have that thing of like, even if you're drunk and about to go to jail, I want to be the first person you call rather than the last person that you want to find out.
And you know what I mean? I'm reminded of the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son, by the way, are not those people who were not sons and are coming into, you know, into the kingdom. The prodigal son is a picture of those who run away and then sort of come back. And the boy, you know, like when that boy came from a distance, that father was right there to accept them. And I think it's great that, you know, and we see a beautiful picture of this father who's right there waiting for his son to come back. And once the son arrives, he doesn't even ask him, where have you been? Why did you do that? Well, now you're going to have to start at the bottom again and work your way up. He literally puts that boy right where he was before he even, you know, like before he even left. And I mean, like, and that's a pretty hard thing. How are you going to raise your children differently? Have you thought about it?
The idea of even having kids right now, and I feel like I'm a child myself. I'm testing the waters with my niece and nephew. I think I'm fine being Uncle Sia for now.
Oh, is it okay?
But, you know, I think you know what you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so from everything that I've learned throughout my own childhood, the good and the bad, you know, you take from the good and you learn from the bad. Yeah. And I think that in itself is just how I'll tackle that when the day comes.
Yeah.
If the day ever comes. But yeah, okay. It's interesting.
Yeah. And you, Simpua?
I admire the way my parents raised us. With giving us the choices and telling us the good and the bad and having to say to us, be responsible, always make the right choice, but these are your options. And for me, that's what I admire. In terms of doing things differently, I'd say communication.
Yeah.
Maybe communicate better and be open, because yes, they gave us choices, but it was kind of difficult to go back to them and say, I messed up, you know. It's very difficult when you have such great parents and you mess up. When you mess up, it is hard to go back and say, look, this is what I did wrong. Because a person with bad parents would say, I did this because my mom is like this, because my dad did this and that. So it's easy to blame somebody else for it. But when you have such good parents, then it's like, no, it's all on me. It was my fault, you know? So there was kind of that pressure as well. So I think I would be more open to my kids to say, even when you do something wrong, don't be afraid to come back and say, Mom, this is what I did, and I will advise you from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm learning from just all of you guys? The fact that I think there's a message here for the parents, for the preachers, and there's a message here for the preacher's kid. And the message to the parents is that love your children. You know what I mean? Don't ever be so bogged down in your ministry and your, you know, it's inverted commas, in your ministry, that like you feel that your child is going to mess that up. Just love them. And I think from there, the right person will grow from there. And in terms of the kids, take responsibility. Don't grow up and start blaming your parents for the person that you are. Because once you stand in front of God, you won't be able to do that. You know? It's all going to be about you and what you did. You can't say, yeah, but it was my parents' fault. Mm-hmm. They're going to be going, the chance that they're probably be going into heaven and they're going to be, you're going to be left behind. Mm-hmm. So it should have been your fault and your responsibility. So take responsibility and parents, love your children. Before I leave and wrap up, I want to just let you guys know of some preacher's kids some preacher's kids that you probably thought they're not, you know what I mean, that you never knew about. Kings of Leon, they preacher's kids. Alice Cooper, can you believe it? Wow. That's the other side. Rocker Alice Cooper. Marvin Gaye, of course, and you know the sad story about his dad shooting him because you were so disappointed about the way he was leading his life. The Jonas Brothers, mm-hmm. also preacher's kids as well.
Yeah.
Katy Perry, yep. Everybody knows about that, yeah. You know. Good Girl Gone Bad. Marcus Mumford from Mumford & Sons. Yeah. Wow. And then Wyclef, of course. Ryan Tedder from One Republic, and Denzel Washington. So these are all preacher's kids, and there are so many more. Tesla, the guy who invented the electric car, also preacher's kid. So these people can be anywhere at any time. So let's love them, and thank you guys for coming in. And on the Open Book, we'll see you again next week.
The Open Book on CliffCentral.com.